you would, please take out a Bible and open up to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. That will be our text for this morning's lesson. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. As we begin this morning, we want to express, it's Father's Day, isn't it? I see a number of men with little flowers on their shirts or on their coats, and to see your fathers, appreciate those who gave those flowers to you. It is always nice to be identified and thought of and remembered for the work that we do as fathers. This morning we're going to talk a little bit about a subject that I think is relevant to fathers. Before we get into that, we want to say thank you to everyone that is here, especially if you're visiting with us. We appreciate the time you've taken to come and to worship God with us this morning. I wasn't here yesterday. I was out of town for a graduation of my nephew over the past few days, but I understand that yesterday, there are quite a few of our flyers handed out for Vacation Bible School. I think total now over the past two Saturdays, we've somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,000 flyers. And so we're excited about that. I heard that the turnout for the work party was excellent. And I heard you had a lot of fun because it's a party. Got everything ready for the building. Again, want to express the need for young men to assemble in the back after services this morning to kind of help move some furniture around, because tomorrow is the day. You know, it always seems to come so fast. You know, we start preparing, start doing the work, and then we get to Vacation Bible School, and there's a lot of effort, a lot of sweat that is poured into this week, and it's all done with efforts to teach our children so that God might be glorified and that they might learn about God and His love for them. And so we hope that you will bring your kids to this week. But also remember, there are classes for adults as well in the morning and evening. So avail yourself of this opportunity, and you know, it will just be a short time, and then we'll be looking ahead to next year. Lord willing, and Vacation Bible School then. There's been some things that I've been thinking about lately. I'd like to think that, you know, life is kind of consistent with me, but it isn't. And I think we probably all from time to time feel, hey, you know what, I just want life to be even keel, no ups, no downs, and just straight. But again, that's just not realistic. Several years ago, there's a movie that came out, it starred Billy Crystal, and when his stuff is clean, it is excellent. And it was a commentary that when the movie came out, I really didn't quite understand what he was saying. I understand it a little bit more. In this movie, he played the part of a bored baby boomer who had come to a point of dissatisfaction with his job selling radio advertisements. One day he visits the school of his child, and it was career day, and so he gets up and he gives an explanation. Now, to be mindful, you know, all the other parents had dads that were there or moms that were there that had exciting jobs. And so he, upon hearing this and understanding his job was boring, he starts into his discussion. He sees that the class of these young kids, just, you know, their eyes are glazed over. So he goes into what is an expressionless monologue, and I'm not going to do it in his voice or in his monologue, monotone way, but I will quote what he says. "Value this time in your life, kids, because this is the time in your life when you still have choices. It goes by fast. When you're a teenager, you think you could do anything, and you do. in your 20s, it's a blur. The 30s, you raise your family, make a little money, and think to yourself, what happened to my 20s? 40s comes around, and you grow a little pot belly, you grow another chin, the music starts to get too loud, and one of your old girlfriends from high school becomes a grandmother. 50s, you have minor surgery, you call it a procedure. 60s, you'll have major surgery, the music is still loud, but it doesn't matter because you can't hear it anyways. 70s, you and the wife retire to Fort Lauderdale. You start eating dinner at 2 in the afternoon, lunch at 10 a.m., breakfast the night before. Spend most of your time wandering around malls looking for the ultimate soft yogurt, uttering, how come the kids don't call? How come the kids don't call? The 80s, you'll have a major stroke. You'll end up babbling with some Jamaican nurse who you call your wife, and your wife can't stand, and he ends by saying, any questions? And the kids are just blank. Whether we accept it or not, or even if we acknowledge it or not, I mean, we have to acknowledge before we can accept, life changes. Life is full of transitions. And like I said, this is something I've been thinking about for a while because, you know, this year I have one kid who just graduated high school. Fall, I have one kid starting high school. And then I have the daughter who just turned 16. And you just know what that's like to have all of that going on. At the same time, this summer I'll be celebrating my 20th anniversary. I'm over 40. I'm not going to talk about my wife's age because I know better than that. Life is up and down. And then, you know, you hear things. Like I heard just recently that the preacher I trained with for 2 years passed away, 87 years old. That was 20-some years ago that I was with him and I saw him. It doesn't seem like that could happen. And then you see the old pictures as you're going through the albums and you're reminiscing over the years, and it's just like, what happened to life? How did it change so much? And you know what? Change is not for us old people either. It's for you kids as well. You elementary school students, you know, there's probably someone who just finished sixth grade, and you know what? You're looking forward to, hesitantly, walking onto the junior high campus. Where you go from one classroom to now multiple classrooms, and it's like, oh no. And the junior high student that's transitioning out of eighth grade into high school. And when I took Andrew to high school just 4 years ago, I remember saying to myself, boy, these kids here look really grown up. Some of them were driving, and they look like adults, and growing facial hair, and all of that kind of stuff. And it's like, what's happening? And those of you that have graduated, and we have several that have graduated, you know, you're looking now at the dawn of life, and you're asking yourself, what am I going to do for a career? Am I going to go to college, or am I going to go to trade school, or am I just going to get a job? Sat at Caleb's graduation on Thursday night and looked out over the field and said to myself, you know, if things hadn't been different, Andrew might have been on that same field graduating. And I'm looking around, I'm going, and I said this to Beth. I said, quote, this is the age of kids that went off to fight World War II. This is the age of the kids that went to Korea. Kind of scary, isn't it? Life changes. There's a lot of transitions that are there. For men and women and husbands and wives and fathers and mothers, there are transitions. You know, men and women fight the aging process. Again, I'm not going to talk about how women fight the aging process, but they do. Well, what men do to fight the aging process is we reflect back on our younger days, and so we have our midlife crises. Some of us are blessed with one, some maybe even two or three. All those are is the failure to acknowledge and appreciate the position you are in, longing for something else. husbands and wives, you cannot tell me that life does not change. Dating life and married life are very different from each other. Think about that. Dating life, I remember going to pick Beth up, and we're going to go out, and we're, you know, wash the car, go out on a date. Everything's great, happy, all that kind of stuff. Then we get married, and it's bills. You have to pay for the wedding. You have to pay for the apartment. You have to pay for the furniture. You have to pay for all those things. It changes. Relationships change. We pray they get better as we grow closer together in love. Fathers and mothers, you know, your life changes. If you have a student who is going away to college, and maybe this is your last kid, it is a change, you know, the empty nest syndrome. And then maybe your kids are getting married, and you have that really big change of letting go, because Scripture says he shall leave his father and mother and cling to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. It's a transition. Life is all about transition. So the question is, how do we deal with it? How do we deal with these kinds of transitions? And as I was thinking about that question, my mind kept coming back to Solomon in Ecclesiastes. For Solomon understood, I think, more than any, due to his wisdom given by God, that life is something to be, if you would, to be existing. It's something to be lived. It is something to go through. And yet there's changes. And so we have all kinds of questions. And what we see in the book of Ecclesiastes, just to sum up, is there's some big questions that he asks. And the biggest question is, what's the purpose of life? What's it all about? And he comes to, let's make an argument. Let's go down this path and examine this. And so in chapter 1 and verse 4 through verse 11, he talks about the monotony of life. And he sums it up there in verse 9 when he says, what has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done, and there's nothing new under the sun. I mean, if you want to look at life, it's just a repetitious cycle that we're on. That we are born, we exist, we die. We're born, we exist, we die. On and on and on and on it goes. And there's good times and there's bad times. And so he says, there's nothing new. And then he looks at the subject of wisdom. And he says, you know what? Wisdom is vain. And at the end of chapter 1, verse 12 through verse 18, he goes on this journey to experience wisdom as the answer to life's happiness. And he comes up in this conclusion in verse 18. In much wisdom is much vexation, and he who increases in knowledge increases in sorrow. Why is that? That's because you can never have all the answers. When you think you have it all answered, and you have all the knowledge, and you have all the education, guess what? There's another discovery. There's another thing to learn, and you learn in the end that you don't have all the answers. There's the futility of wealth in chapter 2 and verse 1 through verse 11. He talks about wealth and that he had a lot of possessions and he built whatever it was that he desired. And so in verse 11, he comes to this conclusion: I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it, and behold, all was vanity and striving after the wind. And there was nothing to be gained under the sun. It's all empty. You go build up whatever you want. You go and acquire as many possessions as you want. What's going to happen to it? It's all going to just fade away. It's all going to go to someone else. We walked into an antique store yesterday at the Circle in Orange, and you walk through that store and you just see things that people had acquired that are no longer in their possession. It's for someone else. And these things are broken. These things are chipped. These things are falling apart. they degrade. What you build up will go away. One thing that is certain that is not real happy is, you know what? One thing that we all have is certainty of death. So in chapter 2 and verse 12 through verse 13, he talks about death, and he comes to this conclusion in verse 16. He says, "For the wise as of the fool, there is no enduring remembrance, seeing that in the days to come, all will have been long forgotten." How the wise dies just like the fool. We were sitting around over the past couple of weeks with my mother in town and best parents in town. We were talking about family and trying to go back in our families. You know, we get one generation, two generation, three generations, we start forgetting. Four generations, we remember even less. And you go back farther than that, it's like, I know I'm related, but I don't know these people. I don't even know their names. I know they occupied a place on this earth, but who are they? They're just forgotten. That's vanity. So Solomon comes to a conclusion in chapter 2 and in verse 24, beginning. And what I would like us to notice as we read, and we're going to start in verse 24, that this conclusion is repeated two other times. And what this is at the end of chapter 3 is a bookends. And so he says, here's my conclusion. Into chapter 3, here's my conclusion. Then everything else in between applies to this. So let's see what he says. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? For the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he has given to the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to one who pleases God. This also is vanity and striving after the wind. Now before we move on, this is what he says in verse 25. Apart from him, you can't have any enjoyment. Apart from God, life and its many transitions are meaningless. Now read on, chapter 3. For everything there is a season, a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What gain has the worker from his toil? I have seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done it so that people fear before him. That which is already has been, that which is to be already has been, and God seeks what has been driven away. Moreover, I saw under the sun that in the place of justice even there was wickedness, and in the place of righteousness even there was wickedness. I said in my heart, God will judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time for every matter and for every work. I said in my heart, with regard to the children of man, that God is testing them, that they may see that they themselves are but beasts. For what happens to the children of man and what happens to the beasts is the same. As one dies, so dies the other. They all have the same breath. And man has no advantage over the beast, for all is vanity. All go to one place, all are from the dust, and to the dust all return. Who knows whether the spirit of man goes upward and the spirit of the beast goes down into the earth? So I saw that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his work, for that is his lot. Who can bring him to see what will be after him? Did you notice that Solomon's conclusion that he starts in verse 24 through verse 26 of chapter 2 is repeated two times in chapter 3? And that is, man is to enjoy what God has given him. For apart from God, there is no purpose. So how do we deal with our transitions? How do we deal with these things that come in life that are just part of life? Number one is this. Number one is we look up. We look up. Verse 1 through verse 8, very famous section of scripture, been turned into a psalm. Verse 1 says, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. There is something above man, and that's God. What this verse says in verse 1 is that God has appointed times. God has appointed seasons. And these things are established and allowed by him. And so we go through it and you notice all these couplets, and there's 8 verses, 16 couplets, are things that are positive as well as negative. And the point being this, that life is filled with the positive and life is filled with the negative. You're going to have good times and you're going to have bad times. And these times are allowed by God. He fills life with transition. He fills life with change. So either you can fight against it or you can rejoice for it. You can try to fight against it, but all that will do is bring anxiety. So I don't care, guys, how much you try to stay young. Like Billy Crystal says, you hit 40 and the pot belly shows. You get older and things change, and you might try, you know, you think of, I haven't done this yet. I thought about getting out my old Letterman's jacket, trying to put it on. That's over 26 years ago that I got that. There's no way that's going to fit. I could do all I want to, and it's not going to fit. I could long back for those glory days, and they're not going to come back because, number one, they weren't really glorious in the first place, as much as we like to think, but it's not going to work. Life changes. But if we cooperate with God's timing and make the transitions in our life, life will have meaning. And as he says in verse 11, it will be beautiful in its time. I want you to know, when you're 20 years old, it's beautiful. When you're 40 and act like a 40-year-old, it's beautiful. When you're 60 and you act like a 60-year-old, it's beautiful. Because you're in the position that God wanted you to be in when you fill that role. That's awesome. Even the most difficult experiences in life will be things full of meaning. So you'll have your times of birth and excitement. And then you'll have the times of death where you hear stories or you hear, you know, through phone calls or cards that someone you were close to or maybe a little older than you or a little younger than you passed away. You can find meaning in that. There's a time to plant and a time to pluck. In verse 2, you know, the idea that nature will work with the farmer only when the farmer works with nature. When you do what you can, when you can, and how you ought to, then things will work. There's a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And you know, those times we long for, the positive times. I want to laugh. I want to dance. I want to build up. But you know what? Life doesn't always give me what I want, and I need to find meaning in those times where it doesn't. Time to cast away stones and time to gather stones. There's a time when things are proper to do. You know, for the farmer in his life to go out, he wants to clear the field of stones. For the homeowner, he wants to build a wall of stones. Wherever you're at, you use your time for God. There's a time to seek and a time to lose. There's time to embrace, time to refrain from embracing. I like to think of that as, you know, there's time for hello. There's time for goodbye. There's a time to seek and a time to lose. You know, there's time to look for something that you've lost. And there's a time just to give up. Move on. There's a time to keep and a time to cast away. One of our projects this summer is going to the garage. The black hole, the abyss. There's a time to keep. In our vernacular, there's a time for a garage sale. Just to sell it. It sits in a box. I don't need it. There's times for tear or to tear, and there's a time for sowing. They think that this, you know, harkens back to the grief of the Jews, that they would tear their garments. There's a time for grief, and there's a time to recover from grief. There's a time for silence and a time for speaking, and oftentimes we don't understand which is which. There's a time to love, and there's a time to hate. There's a time of war, there's a time of peace. Life is full of change. Adapt to the change and find blessing and meaning within it. The second thing he says is look within. Look within. Look at verse 9. What gain has the worker from his toil? This is repetition, a reminder of Solomon's initial question back in chapter 1 and in verse 3. He goes on and says, I have seen the business that God has given to the children of men to be busy with. Look within. The life that you have is a gift. The time that you have here on this earth and the interactions or the relationships that you have with people is a gift. Thank God for that gift. That animated cartoon, Kung Fu Panda, I like what the wise master said. He said, yesterday's the past, today, tomorrow's the future, but today is a gift. That's why it's called a present. Today is a gift. But what do we say of that gift when we constantly look back to some other time? When we were younger. Some other time where maybe we had different memories. We say we don't appreciate the gift of where we are. In verse 11, he goes on and says, he has made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has put eternity in man's heart. Yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. He has put eternity in man's heart. Your heart is linked to eternity. You're different from all creation. God said in Genesis chapter 1, let us make man in our image. In the image of God, he made them. Male and female, he made them. You're different than all of creation. One of the things that makes you different is you have a longing for eternity. That's why nothing in this earth satisfies. That's why it go out and engage in moral and godly activities and you still will not find complete satisfaction because we're not made for here. And when we don't understand that, we live here and for here, that's when we fail to understand all the questions of life. The answer to life is eternity. The answer to life is, I'm going to be with God. But then he says, look within and enjoy the now. Verse 12 and verse 13. I perceive that there is nothing better for them to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. In all your work, see God, see good. See the good, or where you're at. And then lastly, he says, look ahead. Look ahead. In verse 14, there is something ahead of you, and that is death. So in verse 14, he talks about God's work. God's work doesn't change. I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken away from it. God has done it so that people fear before him. That which is already has been, that which is to be already has been, and God seeks what has been driven away. There is something that is going to happen, and it's because God has placed it into this system, and it is his work, and that is life will come to an end. What he does endures, what he does will be perfected. Therefore, fear him. Guess what? It doesn't matter what people do, you're not going to avoid death. It's going to come. It's going to happen. So in verse 15, he says there, God seeks what has been driven away. That's the literal translation. God seeks what hurries along. Time gets away from us. I don't know about you. I look back on yesterday. It seems like it was, 1970s. And I'm young. 1980s, we've been listening to 80s on 8 on Sirius XM in our car, and I just long back, I remember that song, 84, I was 12 years old. Kids are whining and complaining and moaning in the back seat, can we listen to some better music? I said, this is as good as it gets. Time gets away from us. God seeks what hurries along. In other words, God will keep track of time, and it will come to an end. Verse 16 and verse 17, he talks about wickedness is everywhere, but you know what? One day God will judge, and what was unrighteous will be righteous. What was wicked will be good. What was imperfect will be perfect. And then in verse 18 through 20, he talks about how man and animals are the same. I don't know if you realize that. We have some qualities that are the same. I said in my heart with regard to the children of man that God is testing them, that they may see that they themselves are but beasts. God wants us to see that we are but beasts. But notice what he says, because we don't want to jump to the wrong conclusion. He says, for what happens to the children of man and what happens to the beast is the same. As one dies, so dies the other. They all have the same breath. The man has no advantage over the beast, for all is vanity. What he is saying here is, you know what? Man is just like animals in this one area. You're going to die. You're going to go back to the dust. Just the same. But, verse 21, there's a dissimilarity. Who knows whether the spirit of man goes upward and the spirit of the beast goes down into the earth? From our perspective, when we look at it, we don't know. But there is something that Scripture tells us, doesn't it? When I die, my physical body goes into the ground, just like the physical body of a beast goes into the ground. The only difference is my spirit goes upward. My spirit returns to its maker to be judged. We have a different experience at death. So while death is certain, what comes tomorrow is unknown. So what we must do today is appreciate the time we're in. You have trouble with transition in life? Look up. See that God has ordered and allowed change to occur in life. Look within and see that you're tied to eternity. That while changes occur here in this life, you have a spirit, and that spirit is eternal, and you look forward to something better than today, and then look ahead. For all the changes that happen point to one thing. You're closer to the grave. So when you're a teenager, you don't think that far ahead. When you're 20, maybe not so much. 30, maybe a little bit more. 40, a little bit more. And we start feeling the pains and we start feeling the aches. And we're like, what happened to my 20s? I didn't feel this way then. And those multiply in your 50s and your 60s, and it hurts even more. And sometimes you just wonder, and then you retire, and you look forward to retirement and some hot place where you just play a little bit here and there and just wonder, what am I going to do with my time? And then time keeps ticking away, and you get closer and closer to that day. It's going to come. So appreciate the time that you're in. While many things change in this life, there are some things that do not change. The Bible will still have all the answers. Prayer will still work. God will still be worthy of praise. His word will still be proclaimed. Blessings will be poured out. There will be room at the cross because Jesus will still love you and Jesus will still save. So while life is filled with transitions, some things don't change. The question is for you this morning, are you willing to submit to those things that never change? If you do, you have to recognize God's authority over your life and say, I'm not going to live for my will, but live for God's will. Be his child, to be his servant. When you make that decision, then you want to make the decision to be baptized for remission of sins. To start your walk with Jesus Christ as a babe in Christ. If we can help you this morning, why not come forward while we stand and sing this song?